This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa andu'ala. My dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome once again to another lesson in Bustan al-Arifin, the Garden of the Aware, where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this venture and to give us that awareness, inshallah, so we can really experience the garden in our lives. So without further ado, I'm going to get on, because a lot of stuff to cover, as you may already know. So now we're going to talk about matters which are sort of general principles, otherwise called the further advice or matters of guidance. And these are pieces of, remember, we said we're in the garden. These are what Imam Nawawi has chosen of different kinds of flowers, different kind of bouquets, different kinds of things which allow us to actually learn and to benefit, inshallah. So he said, beginning with, he said that on the mark of, and this is the attributed to one of the great ulama of the past, Ma'ruf al-Karkhi, rahimahullah, who he said that the mark of Allah's almighty despise for a slave is that you see him occupied in that which does not concern him. So basically what he's saying is that if you are occupied with that which does not concern you, then you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises you. And why is he despising you? Why is that a sign? Because when you concern yourself with things that do not concern you, it shows that you are falling into two problems. The first of these problems is ultimately that you are attaining lots of bad deeds. Why? Because you're talking about people, you're gossiping. When you gossip about people, you're going to be judging them, you're going to be doing things that are going to bring about badness. Now, talking about certain things, maybe mentioning news here and there might not be an issue, but usually when you gossip about people, you're going to backbite them. Remember, backbiting is even if you mention something which is true, but you mention it where somebody does not like it, then you have fallen into backbiting. Backbiting is one of the major sins. And lots of things in there. The second problem is that you are wasting the opportunity to do good things. Because remember, if you are engaged in bad things, you're not going to be engaged in good things. So it is almost like a path which you are going, which is a very bad path. And that's why he's saying it's a mark of despise, because it's actually showing that you are not going on the right path. So someone say, well, that sounds a bit, but it's there. It's there to shock you into awakening and being aware that you should not be gossiping. You should not be discussing matters which do not concern. I already mentioned something to that effect last lesson as well, which is this one actually. So I've just put it here as well, because this is what we spoke about last time as well. The next point, it's very important, he mentions here, that our actions need to be aligned, okay? They need to be aligned towards doing the right things, you know, some of the right things. And that's why here, the saying of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he said, and basically this is like a general saying, is that you ask him, and you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask him for paradise, yet you do that which he despises. I have not seen anyone who is more or has a lower opinion, having a lower opinion of himself than you. Meaning that if you are asking Allah for paradise, you're asking Allah for al-Jannah, it's a very high thing to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, and obviously every Muslim should be asking Allah for al-Jannah. But that asking for al-Jannah should also be aligned with the fact that when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for al-Jannah, you should also be doing the things that will bring about the Jannah. So how can you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, but at the same time, you are doing things which are not worthy of al-Jannah. And yeah, you could be doing things bad as well. And you're asking Allah for al-Jannah, but at the same time, you are doing haram, you are engaging in haram, you're consuming haram, or you are not, you know, you ask for Jannah, but you don't pray on time, you don't pray extra prayers, you're not giving charity, you're not this. How can those two things match? That's what Al-Fudayl here is mentioning. And it's almost like a wake-up call that, you know, if you're going to ask Allah for Al-Jannah, get up, you know, set the standards, start to do things. Don't just sit there and just, you know, let things happen. Be higher to achieve that, inshallah. The next saying is the saying of Sahal ibn Abdullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. He said, there's no thicker veil between the slave and Allah than a false claim. Usually the word claim is always false, but you know, sometimes there can be a correct claim. But usually when we say somebody claims something, he claims to be this or claims to be that, usually it's not true. But anyway, so that's why the false is there. And there is no nearer path to Allah than impoverishment. And here, the claim, which is da'wah, the word da'wah, means to say something about yourself which is not true. The more you praise yourself, the more you are satisfying your nafs. And remember, we're trying to fight the nafs. We're trying to fight the ego. And that's opposite of what you should be doing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your relationship between you and Allah should be that of a servant or that of a slave of Allah. So that's why the closest you will be to Allah is when you recognize that you are in need of Allah. You are impoverished to Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara ila Allah, wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. So you are those who are impoverished, you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is almighty, rich, he is not in need. And that's why, you know, this impoverishment here, which is to realize that you are an abd, is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually the word abd is a praise. It's one of the highest status. When you think about Allah spoke about his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi min al-masjid haram al-masjid al-aqsa. Glory be to the one who took his slave by night from the sacred mosque to the furthest mosque whose surroundings we have blessed. And also he mentioned, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ كَادُ يَكُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا. Yet when the slave of Allah stood up calling upon him, the pagans almost swarmed over him. And so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he actually mentioned, it's a title of closeness. That is the highest thing. And that's why Al-Qadhi Iyadh, rahimahullah, he sang this lines of poetry. He said, وَمِمَّا زَادَنِي شَرَفًا وَفَخْرًا وَكِدْتُ بِأَخْمُصِي أَطَأَ الثُّرَيَّ دُخُولِي تَحْتَ قَوْلِكَ يَا عِبَادِي وَأَنْ صَيَّرْتَ أَحْمَدَنِي نَبِيًّا. Well, that which has increased me in my in honor and pride, such that I could have stepped with my soul on the Thuraya, which is the, I used to call the North Star or the Pole Star. So meaning that something has given me real pride and real happiness. I'm so happy I could be flying, I could be on the moon and or on the star here, is being amongst your title, oh my slaves, Ya Ibadi. So to call me Ya Ibadi is a great title, and that you have sent to me Ahmed as a prophet. So impoverishment means that you announce your need to Allah, and you are understanding this, and you are aware of this in this regards. And then we have a saying of Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. I think it's the Imam Al-Shafi'i who mentions the best of the dunya. And I think this one we had mentioned before, and it's a repeat. But he's repeated here, I think, just to, because he's going to mention a few sayings of Imam Al-Shafi'i here. But anyway, so enrichment of the self, meaning to be happy and content with that you have. That is the enrichment. The richness, the money, the wealth is not the wealth of material. It's the wealth of being content, being happy. Then you're gonna be happy. Remember, this is al-Jannah. When your Jannah is inside you, you don't need the material around you. Avoiding harm to yourself and to others, and that's obviously by keeping away from haram and the like. Earning halal, the dress of piety, which obviously will allow you to keep away from haram, and trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about this before, so I'm not gonna dwell too much about it. And also Imam al-Shafi'i said, he said he who is overwhelmed. So this is another saying here, because he's mentioning a few of the sayings of Imam al-Shafi'i. They're all about words of guidance. Remember, with all bouquets, if you like, chosen from this garden. He was overwhelmed by the intensity of the lust for the dunya. He's going to be enslaved to its people. And he who is happy with subservience to Allah, subjugation to others will be dispelled away from him. And this is a beautiful correlation here, because remember, we just talked about impoverishment. So the best thing and the closest thing that brings you to Allah is to be impoverished, to be a slave. However, if you are going to follow the dunya, you're going to be enslaved to the people. Why are you going to be enslaved to the people? Because the reality of the matter is that you are going to be what? You're going to be wanting to satisfy people. Why? Because you want to satisfy the material. You're going to bend over backwards to get that extra pound or extra dollar. You're going to do things that are going to benefit you in that sense and to give you that money, etc. So you're going to be enslaved, because it's, as they say, money talks, money makes the world go round. These are the kind of, you know, slogans. So if you want the dunya, the people who are part of the dunya, excuse me, you're going to be enslaved to them. However, whoever is happy to be subservient to Allah, meaning being an abd to Allah, as we have mentioned, then if he's abd to Allah, he has the honor, he has the pride, he's not going to be subjugated to others, because he's not going to allow himself to be subjugated. He is proud and he is happy that his Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His master is Allah, who controls everything. So why should he even be worried about what people think or what people say? And I think that kind of saying, we have already, you know, spoken about it in many aspects. And we talked about the pride that a scholar should have and the like. Continue with the Imam al-Shafi'i. Whoever loves for Allah to open his heart and to give him knowledge. Again, this is about your subservience. How do you achieve this subservience? Because this is how you're going to open your heart. This is how you're going to get knowledge. You have to practice solitude. Solitude meaning don't be mixing with people too much. There is a danger of mixing. And that's why the ulama of the past, they used to say that, you know, there are essentially four things, which if you practice them in excess, they are dangerous poisons to your heart and to your nafs. Excessive eating, excessive talking, excessive looking, and excessive mixing. And here it's talking about, so don't mix too much with people. The more you mix, the more you're going to be, again, falling into gossip, talk, etc. The more you mix with people, they're going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. Even your friends, subhanAllah, sometimes you see friends joking with one another, and subhanAllah, sometimes it's quite harsh jokes. All that needs is one of those jokes to, you know, just to be understood out of context, and then they fall out. So, yeah, and you have to practice it now and again. And that means that have time out, you know, time out from the screen, time out from the television, time out from the from others and just seclude yourself. Think about yourself, think about Allah, think about the universe around you and the like. Secondly, reduce your food intake, because again, remember, we said excessive eating is going to be harmful, as many of the righteous people used to say. Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, "Ma shabi'tu mundu aslamt." You know, ever since I became a Muslim, I never ate my fill. Obviously, the Prophet ﷺ, that was his practice, and that was what he encouraged, not to eat too much. Eating too much is gonna affect you, affect your knowledge, make you tired, make you lethargic, etc. Abandon socializing with fools, as well as some of those associated with knowledge who have no fairness or morals. So don't associate with fools, because the fools will only hurt you. And indeed, Imam Shafi'i said, "Never have I debated with an alim, with a scholar, except that I would have, you know, most likely defeated him in the debate. And never have I debated with a fool, except that he would defeat me." Because a fool has no standards. You know, they have, you try to explain things to them, and you'll say to them, you know, simple things, you know, what they call musallamat, you know, taken for granted. But the fool doesn't accept these taken granted. You know, they will say to you, you might say to them, and in fact, this happened to me, subhanAllah. I was once in Hyde Park, and I was trying to discuss somebody about, you know, just the creator, and etc. So I said to him, "Look, I wanted to bring him in the whole concept of the universe. The universe is there, it has a beginning, has an end, that kind of thing." So I said to him, "Look, you see that sun out there? We know it exists." He said, "How do we know it exists? I don't know if it exists or not." I said, "Look, the sun is there. I can see it. It's up there, the heat." He said, "No, I can't. I don't know if it exists or not." I said, "Okay, well, what about your brain? Does your brain exist or not?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "No, definitely you don't have a brain." Anyway, the point being is, there are some fools, you won't be able. So when you socialize with fools, they're going to hurt you. They're going to harm you. Also, some people who are associated knowledge, meaning people who have knowledge or ulama, but they have no fairness, they have no akhlaq, they have no morals, they can also hurt you. So again, stay away from people who are going to affect your deen, affect your dunya, and just mix with people who are going to be beneficial to you. And in this regards, also Imam al-Shafi'i said, the most beneficial of monitions, nice word, not used it before, is piety. And the most harmful of it is aggression. Now I can see you all Googling the word munitions, if you can. What does that mean? Well, it basically means ammunition, your arsenal, your military power. The most beneficial things in your artillery, the most beneficial things in your strength as a Muslim is taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Get prepared, take your provisions, the best of provision is taqwa. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. You have taqwa, taqwa is going to help you in your way. It's going to be that kind of perception. It's going to open your eyes to what is haram, and keep away from what is haram. It's going to push you towards doing good. And the most harmful of your arsenals is aggression. Aggression towards others, thinking that they, you know, you want to attack somebody. Maybe you think that you want to, because that's aggression. And that's going to harm you. It's going to harm you in so many ways. SubhanAllah, many times we have these incidents. It happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to you. Somebody might really wind you up. They might really anger you. I don't know, somebody cuts you off with a car if you're driving, or somebody maybe says something, or an incident of someone who, a patient who wasn't happy with the treatment that I did for him. Anyway, he tried to sue me, but I think, you know, it took a long time. Nothing came of it, no material. He went to the lawyers, he went to the solicitors, etc. They didn't. I think they just said to him, the claim is not valid. So, you know, we don't have a claim. Anyway, the only thing that he could do was to basically write a very bad comment about me in the online reviews. And somehow, I mean, I know this guy's address. I know where he lives. I know his numbers. I know his telephone number. I know a lot of information about him. But obviously, under patient confidentiality, it should not be disclosed, whatever. there are sometimes people who go through these thought processes that this guy has harmed me. I need to retaliate against him. I'm going to do something about him. I'm going to hurt him. Those kind of feelings, and those kind of thoughts, which is aggression, that is going to harm you. It's going to harm you because it will change. You know, it will change your life. It will change. And sometimes people, they get that block and they can't see. You know, sometimes it might happen. Sometimes it comes from a matter of pride rather than a matter of halal and haram. So you've got to be careful in that regard. Imam Shafi also said, the best actions are three: the remembrance of Allah, consoling the brothers, and being fair to people. And these, I think they all, you know, it's quite straightforward what he's saying here. You know, it's end of the day, remembrance of Allah, wa dhikrullahi akbar, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. A remembrance of Allah is not just about remembrance with the tongue. It's about remembrance of the tongue, remembrance with the heart, remembrance with the actions. It's about being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember Allah when you wake up in the morning means that you are aware. You remember Allah when you are eating, it's mindfulness. You remember Allah when you're putting on your clothes, when you go to the bathroom, when you make wudu, when you are doing salah, when you're eating, when you're drinking, when you're... Every conjunction, if you are remembering Allah, means you are aware. How does Allah want me to behave in this scenario, in this place, in this context, in this action? I need to be fair. I need to be just. I need to make sure that I'm not going to do the wrong thing. Yeah. So you know, it's about that. Even today, we were in paintballing. Which is a nice activity too, but also quite a painful one. Me and my friend, we bought together some of these small pellets, the paint pellets. Those of you who've been paintballing will know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I was carrying the pellets. Now, at one stage, my pellets went down. At one stage, a thought triggered to me. I said, maybe I can take some of his pellets. After all, I'm carrying them. And I said, subhanAllah, that's not going to be fair. That's not going to be halal. It's not going to be right. I mean, even though at the end of the day, subhanAllah, I was the one who paid for them anyway, but it was his pellets. So even taking a pellet like this, it's just trivial matter. You're going to be aware, no, I can't do this. I can't take that. It's not. That's what it's about. That's what remembrance of Allah is going to bring about. It's going to bring about being fair to people. It's about consoling others as well, because you're being aware of their needs as well. And today, consoling brothers and sisters, it means really reaching out to people. You know, you have the opportunity out there to reach, to speak to people. Use your telephone today. A lot of people do these forwards and things like that. I'm not very a fan of these things, to be honest with you. But why don't you look at the people who are in your contact list and send them a nice message, you know, a personalized message. It might only take you a minute or two. Pick up the phone, assalamu alaikum, brother, sister, uncle, auntie, you know, and just say, you know, I'm just thinking about you, hope you're well, hope everything's good. It's just, you know, I know ideally we should be calling people, but today, subhanAllah, calling people has become such a chore in itself. You have to book an appointment with people to call them. Brother, can I call you? Is it okay to call you? And then the other guy says, call me at 9 o'clock. And then 9 o'clock call comes and the guy doesn't call. And then maybe calls at 10 past 9. And the guy says, no, I'm not going to answer you now. You didn't call me at 9 o'clock. We had an appointment. I'm gone. But calling people has become a chore itself. In the past, we didn't have mobile phones. We just had these. I know some of you are quite young and probably saying, what is he talking about? But in the past, we didn't have mobile phones. We had these, these ring dials. You know, let me know in the chat if you know what I'm talking about. And those people, you just call somebody. They would, you know, you'd get a call. They have to pick up the phone. You know, there's no message coming up saying to you, you know, Sulaiman Ahmed is calling you, or you know, Fatima Hussein. End of the day, it's gonna ring, the phone is ringing, you have to answer it. Somebody's got to answer the phone. So you answer the phone, oh, it's fine, alhamdulillah, how are you doing? And you start chatting. Whereas today, so what I'm saying is, point being, I digress, if you try to call people, maybe they will not answer you. So leave them a message, you know, leave them a message, a WhatsApp message, or a kind personalized message. I think that's going to be part of consoling. But you feel so much better. And that's why Imam Shafi said that the best actions are in this regard. Now, he also narrates that the Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said hypocrisy is not known except by a sincere one. And that means, basically, that the only person that can know its reality and its hidden aspects is someone who is sincere, someone who is seeking sincerity. Because he's striving for a long time, doing what? Searching for sincerity and hypocrisy. So he's thinking about it, he's excavating for it, he knows it. So he's really very much aware. Whereas an ordinary person who claims that he knows hypocrisy, the reality is that he's ignorant. He's not going to know it. Why? Because again, he's not somebody who is, who is sincere. Talking about sincerity, and obviously when we say sincere and ordinary, we're not the ones who are judging who is sincere and ordinary. And we might think somebody is ordinary, but he is sincere. So that is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerity is what Allah knows. But a person who is sincere will be also aware of hypocrisy and will be searching for it and will be trying to know about it. It's like the one who really knows riya, which is showing off, is the sincere one. Because again, it's one of the hidden diseases. Somebody has the ability to recognize it, who's aware. And it's like today, if you're expecting a thief to come, somebody warns you and says to you, look, there are thieves around, they're coming to rob houses, and he tells you that, look, these thieves might look like this, maybe they're from this ethnicity, maybe they come in groups of three, maybe this or that, they come at 3 o'clock in the evening or in the afternoon, whatever, you're going to be more heightened to look for these people, aren't you? You're going to say, okay, these people are going to come. Make sure, put my security on, make sure the windows are closed, make sure this. You're going to be, because you're aware of it, you are expecting it. Whereas if you're not, you're just in, you might leave your door open, you might leave a window open, you might not have a security, whatever. So this is the whole aspect. So the more person talks about riya, kibr, ikhlas, intention, the more he's going to be in tune with this, inshallah. And this is similar to a saying of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah. He said in regards to hypocrisy, the one who feels secure from it is the hypocrite. And the one who is afraid of it, of hypocrisy, is the believer. So it is the believer always thinking about this. What's going to nullify my, what's going to affect me, what, and so on in that regard. So inshallah, I hope that is useful. We're going to end with the saying of Abu Yazid al-Bustami, a beautiful saying. I haven't written it here, but I hope you've all got your books and you can access it. And I hope you've read it as well, because that will help for you to understand. So basically he said, for 12 years, this is Abu Yazid. Abu Yazid was one of the great sultans, as Imam al-Dhahabi mentioned, Sultan al-Arifin. He was the sultan of those who are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very great man, although he had some sort of sayings which might be problematic, or maybe at least some people thought they were problematic in that regard. So anyway, he said, for 12 years, I was a blacksmith of my soul. For 5 years, I was a mirror of my heart. And for 1 year, I was observing in between the two. I realized in my middle or inside me, internally, was a girdle. A girdle is like a belt, or like one of those thick belts. Sometimes people use it to keep their fat in or whatever, to give them. In the past, women used to wear it as well to pull everything together so that the shape of their body is in a certain sense, can be quiet. Then he said, I realized that I had a girdle. I worked for 12 years to cut it, thinking, how am I going to remove this? And then I realized that I had an internal girdle. So on the one hand, he had an apparent, then he said, I had an internal, so I worked for 5 years to cut it. And then it was made apparent to me. And I looked at the creation and I saw them, or I considered them as dead. So I pronounced on them 4 takbirs. That's the end of the words of you. These words are so profound that the Imam an-Nawawi himself, he said, he said these words which he has said, he said it's the very precious, very beautiful description. He said it's almost, you know, quite rare to find words like this outside the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so unique, they have a certain, you know, eloquence, certain air to them, certain knowledge to them. He said very rare you'll find someone who's not a prophet say speaking words of great eloquence like these. So basically what he's talking about here, he's saying that for 12 years I was a blacksmith. Blacksmith is someone, you know, deals with the metal and trying to cut it, you know, cut and shape metal and things like that. So he's saying that for 12 years he was working as a blacksmith. He was struggling against himself. He was fighting himself, trying to control the nafs, trying to see how can I be, you know, how can I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being aware. So it's not, it's about controlling the nafs and being in charge. And that takes time. So here he said that I was, you know, spending time to try and, you know, deal with my nafs, to how to, you know, control it, how to shape it, how to mold it. And for 5 years, I was a mirror to my heart, you know, is that I was thinking, how am I going to be, you know, how looking at myself, you know, seeing my heart, reflecting on its reality with the mirror, watching, seeing what's wrong with it, you know. So here he's spending lots of time trying to realize what's wrong with him. And by spending that time, it goes to what we were saying before, that the hypocrisy, only the sincere person is aware of it. He's thinking about it. And then these two girdles that he talks about, the outward girdle is about a person's attitude towards depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attitude towards other people. So it's like his outward attitude, his relationship that was holding him back with others. So again, he needed a long time to cut that girdle, to cut that which is holding him back in terms of the relationship with others. And the internal one is about how he saw himself, you know, how he considered himself. Maybe he was too happy with himself, saying, I'm such a great guy, I'm coming to the masjid, I'm doing this, I'm giving zakat, I'm giving sadaqah, and all these kind of things. So these are internal girdles, which again holds you back towards your relationship. He said, I had to spend 12 years being a blacksmith and trying to get rid of this girdle. And the 5 years with using that mirror, etc., trying to get of the internal girdle, those which were holding him back in that regards. So, so that's what he meant by those things. And then in the end, he said, basically, he said that I considered people as dead, and when he thought about everything, and he talked about it, he considered as dead, and he saw he'd done takbir on them, the four takbirs, the funeral prayer, salatul janazah. That's why he said, what does that mean? What does it mean? Consider that's a bit rude to think about people as dead, but actually, if you understand what he's saying. What he is saying basically is that when you think about somebody who is dead, yeah, it means that your perception of them is that these are people who cannot harm you, they cannot benefit you. Therefore, you should not fear them, nor should you anticipate anything from them. Like you will not be afraid of a dead person. Dead person is not going to come and hit you or smash you or abuse you or whatever. Nor is the dead person going to help you in any way. So they're not going to give you anything. You shouldn't seek what they have because you can't get what they have. Nor should you try to show off to them because they're not going to do anything to you. And you're trying to show off in a graveyard, for example, or you're trying to flatter them by giving them all these, you know, saying these great things about them. Nor should you occupy yourself with them. Nor should you despise them, nor should you mock them. You know, you mock somebody who's dead, what's that going to affect them? How is that going to harm them? They're dead. They're gone. Because at the end of the day, they are not going to do anything. So why would you give them that extra advantage when they don't have it? So here, it's not just about thinking how they affect you, but also in terms of their negatives, okay? Their mistakes. They are dead. Why would you go and search for their mistakes? Why would you envy them? Why would you try to look at what they have or try to get what they have? They're dead. So end of the day, what you should say about a dead person, you say rahimahullah. And when you say rahimahullah, we ask Allah to have mercy on him. He's saying that I should also have that rahmah towards the people, you know, the creation. Have empathy for them, feel sorry for them, so that I, you know, treat them in that way. Okay, so the reality is that when you think about all of this in the terms of ikhlas, you're looking at how do I avoid, you know, these people from affecting me in any way. And that's what he's saying here. When you consider people who are dead, then basically what you are saying is that the human, because he's talking about living people, that your concern is to Allah subhanahu. You're not going to be worried about people. They're going to talk about you. They're going to say you. You don't have to flatter them. You don't have all these things that I've mentioned. Because they're not going to harm you. They're not going to benefit you. They're not going to do that. And this is the same reality with the living. You know, the living are not going to harm. They can't harm you or benefit you. If you have that real aqidah, they're not going to harm you or benefit you. The only person or only being that can harm you or benefit you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in the hadith, the Prophet was teaching this to the young man, Ibn Abbas. Wa'alam, you should know, if everybody gathered together to try and benefit you with something, they will not benefit you except with something that Allah has already written for you. And if they gathered all together to try and harm you with something, they will not be able to harm you with that. The whole ummah, everybody is gathered against you. They can't harm you except something that's already been written by Allah. So humans cannot harm you. They're like dead. Living cannot harm you. They are dead. Because similarly as a dead person cannot harm you, they're not going to benefit you unless with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the right aqeedah, that's the right attitude to have. So sometimes when people say, oh, I consider them as dead, it's like, oh, they're worth nothing. I just ignore them. Or no, it doesn't mean that. It means that my attitude to them is what I've mentioned, empathy, rahmah, mercy, and also don't give them unnecessary waiting in that regard. So we end that inshallah ta'ala, and I hope that's been beneficial for you. And I'm gonna, subhanAllah,